Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Oh man, this Thanksgiving is going to be so awesome. Even Aaron Rodgers can't ruin it. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But Rodgers is back. Gets it off their bye week. And
I hope Aaron is not listening to that, because I will not stand by.
Well, listen, I appreciate Rodgers. We created a whole segment asking what the bleep is he up to today. I mean, he's been awesome in some ways, but he's kind of been insufferable in others. And I think if he was being honest with himself, even he might be able to admit that. And the reason why is not because he's had the audacity to have a bad year. Like, that's not... That happens sometimes in professional sports. The guy's coming off an Achilles tear. He's 40 years old. He's trying to keep the dream alive. I don't think any of us are slighting him because of that. It's not about that. It's just about everything that had to be perfect and felt like Rodgers was curating everything to his liking, and how it's so spectacularly blown up in his face. And again, that's not his fault. It just showed a certain amount of ego and hubris. I know more than you. And listen, it's the Jets, so he definitely does know more than them. But I know more than you. Everyone follow me. I'm going to be the big leader here, and I'm going to be the one who's going to bring us to the back to glory here. You New York Jets, you sorry organization, you don't know anything. I'm the one who's going to show you the way it goes, and I'm going to show you the light. And meanwhile, none of that has come true. The coach is gone. The GM is gone. They traded for his best friend in Davante Adams. That has not worked out. Like, none of this is working. There was a proof of concept when Rodgers was in Green Bay, but that has not come to life here in New York.
I don't know. I keep hearing, I mean, so many times, oh, because the Jets signed Randall Cobb and MVS, that Aaron Rodgers is the shadow GM. Is it really that big a deal? I mean, MVS... signs of a new team every year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why you're killing Rodgers. Like, it makes sense. A veteran quarterback comes in, bring him some receivers he's played for. This is not like a radical, like, Aaron Rodgers, I'm running the show. And when did he ever say, stupid Jets, I'm going to show them how to... He never actually came out and said that.
Well, of course he didn't say stupid Jets. I'm paraphrasing, and because he...
I don't think he had Salah fired. I don't think he picked Ulbrich. I don't think he's had any hand in any of this, what's going on right now. He seems to be super tight with Salah.
I think he's tighter with ownership.
I don't know.
Maybe not Woody Johnson, but Christopher Johnson, his brother, I think they are very tight.
I don't think... I'm getting the sense that he was not consulted on that, Robert. I'm starting to believe that.
I don't, because he said that he talked to the owner the night before. So I think he definitely got the heads up on it. Listen, maybe...
But it wasn't his call.
Maybe it wasn't his call.
The same owner who wanted to bench him?
Well, we're not sure about that report, right? There's so many conflicting that reports. Was that said in jest?
No,
or
he did
was
not.
It said?
He did not deny that report. He was asked. So I watched the McAfee interview. He was directly asked about that. And he avoided it.
Yeah, no, he's avoided a few things. I'm not killing Aaron Rodgers, but Perloff, he definitely was selling himself as, I'm the savior of this team.
Of course.
Right.
So, why would he be? I mean, do you think Tom Brady didn't sell himself as a savior of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who hadn't made the playoffs in a decade and he came in and won a Super Bowl? Of course. What? Why would he not view himself that way?
Okay, well, because you wrote a check that your play couldn't cash.
Tore his Achilles 4 plays into his first game.
And then couldn't stop telling us about how he was going to heal faster than anybody ever and was holding Jets fans' hopes out for that when there was no shot he was going to be able to do it. And then was talking big about... You don't think he wanted Devontae Adams to come here?
Yes, and you know who else liked that move? Everybody on planet Earth thought that was a good idea. Okay. And if you didn't, you're crazy. Why would you have not wanted to bring Devontae Adams for nothing to New York?
So why does it look like they've never met before?
Because the offense is broken, and I don't think Rodgers can't move 3 feet in the pocket without having to limp to the sideline.
Why is Nathaniel Hackett here? Why has everyone made an accommodation about Rodgers? And I'm just saying that he has written a check that he can't cash now. And so it's funny to me to see him yesterday. A couple things. So he's back on McAfee Show. So it's not surprising for me to hear him say that he has not made up his mind yet on what he wants to do next year. So let's hear a little bit about Rodgers. Can I hear cut four, please, Manny, about his future and how open-ended everything is?
If I can stay healthy the rest of the year and play the way I want to play and everybody, you know, feels good about bringing me back, then, you know, then there's a decision there. And if not, then there's, you know, all the other options. You know, I think at this point, I'm, you know, open to everything and attached to nothing. So it's a good place to be.
Okay. He said, though, if he could have it his way, I'll hear cut three, his first option would be to play for the Jets.
I've really enjoyed my time in New York. I mean, obviously we haven't had success that we've all wanted to have, but, you know, I've made some great friendships on the team. I've enjoyed living in Jersey. I've enjoyed time in the city. I've enjoyed getting to know the fans. Mm. And I came here to win here. So I'm not jumping off ship, you know, like, oh, I definitely want to play and not in New York. Like, I don't even know if I want to play yet, but New York would be my first option.
Okay, so there's so much there. First of all, let's take this one first. He's enjoyed his time in New York. I'm glad he has, because no one else has enjoyed this.
Well, that sounded like a lie, though, because he said he enjoyed his time in Jersey. I mean, come
listen,
on.
Where he's living, very, very nice and fancy. This is not Newark Airport that he's sitting in long-term parking. He's living in a very fancy, fancy part of New Jersey.
Go to lunch at Satriel's or whatever.
Yeah, right. He's not an extra on The Sopranos. But here, when he says he's enjoyed his time, he's the only one. Because everyone else seems pretty miserable. Not just the Jets fans in our life. You guys are miserable all the time. The head coach has been fired. The general manager has been fired. Does Devontae Adams seem happy? Does Garrett Wilson seem happy? Does anyone seem happy here? And Rodgers doing this like, wow, we're just, every day is a gift. Well, yeah, every day is a gift, but you're also trying to win football games. He said it there. I was brought here to win football games, and you failed miserably at this for injury and for every other reason. So to say that you've really enjoyed this time, I think is a fine thing to say if you're on an ayahuasca trip. But if you're trying to be a football fan or run a football organization, that is so tone deaf to say. You've enjoyed this misery? This is misery to everyone else.
I mean, what were the Jets before Aaron Rodgers? Was it like he took over the Chiefs and all of a sudden? They were losing before him.
Yeah.
Guy hurt his Achilles. He's been limping around all season. And they lost a bunch of games partly because their kicker was terrible. This is not on him.
Okay.
It's on the Jets organization because they're going to have a new quarterback and the same problems are going to pop up.
Okay. Why this is worse is because when the Jets are bad and Zach Wilson is back there, you have no expectation.
Oh,
right?
Come
you have
on.
Very little expectation.
Are you saying people weren't ripping the Jets when Zach Wilson was a quarterback? It was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week rip fest in this town.
No, but I'm just saying no one thought they were going to the Super Bowl. Rodgers came in, said the Lombardi Trophy looks lonely, and basically said, like, I'm here, guys. I'm here. I'm the second coming of Joe Namath, and I'm here to resurrect the franchise. And he gave people hope, and that's why it feels worse, because the expectations on the season were much higher than any Jets season, and we have to go back at least 13 years to find one where they're higher. So I think that's where people are not loving that part of this from Rodgers. As far as his future, is this still a match? I don't know if the Jets and Rodgers are a match anymore.
Well, I think for Rodgers, it's definitely a match because he's got this big contract. Like, I don't think there's a ton of other options for him. So it's definitely a match from his end. And they don't have what are they going to do? What's their option? I don't think that they're going to be in the top four in the draft. I don't think there's going to be a quarterback for them, so I don't think there's a first-round draft option. I don't want to sell all my draft picks to move up. I don't even think you're going to be able to. So who's your quarterback next year?
Well, that's a great question. Now you're going to have a whole new GM and a whole new regime. So a new GM, a new coach. Does a new GM want to come in and have 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers? Now, you might not think that he's the shadow GM, but he still has a direct line to the owner. And it's whether it's Woody Johnson, it's Christopher Johnson.
But he was very, very non-committal on his relationship with Woody in this interview.
Okay, so that also plays into it, because this is a unique situation where the owner of the team might be a member of the cabinet. Like, this is not a normal thing. Woody Johnson was an ambassador last time during this administration. He could have it again, and Christopher Johnson was left in charge. So if Woody is off to the UK again to hold that position, then Christopher Johnson is the top guy, and that does matter.
Well, that's true. But here's the bottom line. Aaron is going to want the Jets back. Will Jets want it? I mean, that's the discussion now. And you bring up a great point. You're going to have a new coach and a new GM. Name a better fit. What are we looking at? We're looking at Derek Carr. They're not going to do Sam Darnold again. We're talking about a retread, mid-level free agent, maybe like not Baker Mayfield because he's signed, but a Baker Mayfield type. Is that going to get you excited if you're a Jets fan?
I just think that even if they're picking in the top 10, legit. If they're picking in the top 10, maybe you are trying to get a Cam Ward. Maybe you are
Cam Ward's going two.
Well, I don't know. But maybe other guys get pushed up in this draft, and I ask you then, let's just say it's Cam Ward, just for argument's sake. Are you running the same offense for Cam Ward that you are Aaron Rodgers? Like, that's the whole thing about keeping him around. He would presumably be the starter, right? The bridge quarterback to a young guy. But you're not going to be running nearly the same offense for Rodgers as a young guy, because Rodgers is the offense. He's the one who's making those hand signals at the line of scrimmage. He's the one who doesn't want tons of pre-snap motion and all that, because it's a timing. All that stuff that we know about Rodgers, watching it for all these years, that's not going to be what you do for Cam Ward.
Why would Cam Ward? He's got a lot of Rodgers. Like, why would that be a different? They definitely would run the same offense. Like, Cam Ward, kind of similar, like weird arm angles, throws on the run, like a young Rodgers. Actually, Cam Ward, if I was going to do a player comp, that would not be terrible. Because, but, I mean,
we're
Mahomes,
talking about Rodgers now.
Yeah, I know. But then again, Rodgers will be different next year. He'll be at least, like, now he's 0% mobile. Yeah. I think he'd be a little better next year. I think he would probably run very similar offenses for the two players. Shador, definitely.
Yeah, but
I don't think they're getting Cam Ward either. Oh. I think that they're going to miss the quarterback. They're not taking Jalen Milroe. They're not taking Carson Beck that
Although
high.
Right now, Pro Football Focus does have Jalen Milroe mocked to the Jets at 7 overall.
Yeah, I find that really hard to believe.
I think Jalen Milroe should go back to college. But if you're going to be a top 10 pick, then you got to go for the money, I guess.
I just think that Rodgers has become a lightning rod, and he's taking all the blame for the organization because he's so high profile. And the reality is, like, there's much bigger problems than Aaron Rodgers.
That's true, but it's not like the organization is saying, hey, Aaron, can you get out there on Tuesdays to answer all these questions from an ESPN show? Like, he also courts it. And the other just funny part about Rodgers, and this is not a political statement at all, it's just noticeable how quickly he can move back and forth between the vaccine stuff and praising the Johnsons. Like, that is one sentence, I was right about everything. The next, I love the Johnson family. It is whiplash.
But anyway, that being said, Rodgers would say you're getting away from football and you're talking about other things.
We just talked about football for 12 minutes, and I said that for 30 seconds. And he
would jump all over that tape and be like, look, you're judging me on non-football things.
I'm just noticing it. I'm noticing it because he keeps putting it out there week after week. I'm allowed to notice it when he keeps saying it.
I knows the football every week, and he sucks.
And we talked football about.
He's got one leg, EJ. What do you expect?
Oh, that's the other part. There was a report from Ian Rappaport that said Rodgers refused to get any kind of scans on his hamstring or knee. I thought it was ankle. Hamstring for sure.
Yeah, definitely hamstring. It might have been ankle as well.
Yeah.
And why does the defense stink now? And what? Because they fired Saleh like idiots. They'd probably be .500 if they didn't fire Saleh. I'm being serious. Like, this. This is a front office problem, too.
No doubt. Sorry, let me finish the idea about the scans.
Oh, sorry.
So he said, he was asked about, are you not getting the scans? Skirted that question. Said he has a great relationship with the doctors and the medical staff at the Jets, and he knows his body better than anybody. So take that. Big Dave is our pal in Kentucky. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I want to call in and wish you guys all a happy Thanksgiving. Y'all are just my favorite sports folks, sports media folks of all time, and I always enjoy our interaction.
Thanks, buddy.
Dave, you're our favorite warden.
You're our favorite Bengals former Cowboys fan out there.
I get that a lot. hey, couple of things on the favorite sports holiday. I would go football on Thanksgiving, but I'll tell you, dark horse kind of go against the grain here is Father's Day U.S. Opens, and I harken back to 1999 and the Payne Stewart Phil Mickelson showdown and all that. So
that's a great one.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, you know, something I think that's getting glossed over. Everybody kind of writes last year off because he didn't play. But you know what? Father Time doesn't take a year off. And I think this all goes back to the fact that Rodgers just physically cannot do what he once did. It's not even close. He has no mobility. McLovin, you just said you thought next year would be better. I don't know how he'll be 41 as opposed to 40. I think that's just the big part of it. He's just, because if you look, you know, his best years, he was very mobile, you know, inside the pocket. I mean, he created a lot of plays. Just can't do it anymore. And I've talked about that with Dak. I think that's part of Dak's problem after he had the injury. And lastly, on McCarthy and the Cowboys, now I'm firmly, even though I would have bet anything that he's gone, now, because some folks are kind of starting to take McCarthy's side a little bit, you know, that he really didn't have a fair shake this year, I'm thoroughly convinced that Jerry Jones will bring him back again.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, really am. I really am.
Dave,
and I think,
yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I think you're right. I wonder, it's because I don't think he wants to give the keys to the kingdom to Belichick. I don't think he wants to, you know, quote unquote, overpay for Vrabel. I think Jerry might, I'm not saying he's cheap. It's not cheap to pay your coach $8 million or whatever, but I don't think he wants to give out a big deal.
I'm going to tell you, I want to renege on a previous opinion of mine. This is kind of, I guess I need to say you were right, Mags. On primetime, you know, I think Prime would be the perfect fit for the Cowboys, and I'll tell you why. I think he's probably the one guy on the earth that could push back to Jerry. Jerry would probably go along with whatever Prime said and then took credit for it. But it probably won't happen. I'm now convinced that he's going to run Mike McCarthy back. Listen, guys, have a safe and wonderful Thanksgiving. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dave. Same to you and to yours. And we appreciate that. I think that the Dion and the Shador thing, which is where I really thought Dave was going to completely end our friendship. And I know that Dak's got this huge contract, but I don't know. Something about that, the pull, the fact that Dion said he wants to put Shador in a certain particular place just makes me think there's a little hope there.
Yeah, but then Cooper Rush had to go back to being Cooper Rush and tear up those Commanders. Cooper Rush is going to win you some games, Maggie. I told you before. They're not even going to be close to getting Shador. They'll probably pick like 11th or 12th.
I know, but if Dion's skirting it and
it's a long way to skirt. It's a long way to skirt. I mean, Kobe Bryant managed to get himself down to 13 or something. That is way too far. It's going to be hard. Shador's going. Also, I do think at the end of the day, Shador wants to be number one. There's a lot of honor in that.
Sure, and money, 855-212-4227. Although Shador's not really hurting for money, we don't think. Okay, lots there. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, another year in a Jets uniform. Are we all going to survive that?
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
It's a 2-year recovery from Achilles. The worst fear would is go somewhere else and just tears it up, Brett Favre style. But you guys don't seem to care about that.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out where the fit is at another team where he's going to have the opportunity to tear it up. Who, you know, it was hard for Tom Brady, to find a landing spot. People said straight up no. Thank you to Tom.
Yeah, but it's not like you're not talking about Derek Carr. He's Aaron Rodgers.
I know, but
he's like right behind Tom Brady.
I know, but
it's like six all-time on the quarterback
list. But Tom didn't have an Achilles, and he was having trouble finding a landing spot. Like, are there going to be all these open doors? Who was actually bidding against the Jets last time around for Rodgers?
the darkness retreat. It was, you know.
Yeah, again, and we're going to get the will he, won't he retire all off season.
I'd take Rodgers next year. I think somebody should take a risk because he's not going to cost you anything. You can get rid of him in a year.
855-212-4227. All right, there you go. Lots more to do today, including your thoughts on the greatest sports holiday. That's our great debate for today. You can also weigh in our poll question. Do you like going to dinner with your boss?
I don't think so.
855-212-4227. M&P.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. So it's an interesting slate for Thanksgiving Day. Obviously, the Lions are the team to watch. Play the Bears. Divisional game. Who knows? Giants-Cowboys. I've been ripping that game all week. Deserves to be. Dolphins-Green Bay is a huge game. I have a feeling, and tell me if you read this game the same way. If this was on a neutral field, the way these two teams are playing right now, Miami would win and win decisively on a neutral field. Like, Miami's trending up, obviously, and Green Bay feels wobbly. Like, Jordan Love's throwing a lot of near interceptions. The defense is hot and cold. Feels like they've been in a lot of close games. It feels like all the momentum's with Miami. But the factor of the weather is, like, if you wanted to pick Miami, you still, in the back of your mind, have to be nervous about, A, it's cold, B, the chance of precipitation. Still, it's a pretty close spread. I feel like the desperation factor makes Miami a real factor in this game.
Yeah, I just don't know if Miami's going to be able to overcome this weather thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Tua's, what, 0-7 in games that are under 40 degrees?
Yes.
This game's going to be like 20 degrees.
Do you not agree with that neutral field take, though? Because I feel like the temperature of NFL Nation right now is the Dolphins are surging and the Packers are playing mediocre.
I don't actually agree with that, and here's why. I think that you got to look a little closer at the opponent. Now, I know Miami went to the Rams, and they beat the Rams. I still don't know how Vegas knew that was going to happen and actually how that did happen, because I thought the Rams are not a bad team. But then they beat the Raiders at home, and they beat the Patriots at home. And to me, that's not that impressive.
Yeah, but they played really well in Buffalo.
Yeah, okay, but that's also a division opponent that they generally play well, and that's where, well, Buffalo generally wins, but, and then I'm looking at Green Bay. Okay, you lost by 10 points to Detroit. Detroit's been destroying people, and that was at home, okay, but then you had to play the Bears, and you beat them on the block field goal, but
you should have lost that game to a mediocre or bad Bears team.
Okay, but it's a
way
Bears
worse
team.
Than Miami.
It's a Bears team that was coming off not the new head coach bump, but the new offensive coordinator bump, that they had fired their guy, Shane Waldron, the week before. New offensive coordinator, sort of renewed kind of Caleb Williams. And then San Francisco, they were missing guys, and they beat them easily, 38-10.
That was not a real team.
But I'm just saying, it's not like that was close.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bears game was an alarming game for them. You know, this is a Packers team.
It's the Bears at Soldier Field.
I mean, you look at their other wins. They played Jacksonville down to the wire. They played the Texans down to the wire. They just generally, I think it's partly because Jordan Love's health is not perfect. They're not peaking like we necessarily expected. I don't know. I think, again, if it was a warm weather game, I would definitely give the edge. Because the Dolphins have all of a sudden found these new weapons. Like, they're all about Jonnu Smith and Achane, and they don't even really use Waddle and Hill that much. So I know Waddle had a big week last week. It's just an interesting team. When Tua is healthy, I think they're right now playing better. And also desperation. You know, they need this one. Green Bay can easily drop a game.
Yeah, I get it. I just don't know how good Miami is actually playing because of the opponent.
Yeah,
I can't tell if they're just looking better because their opponents, like, again, you should be beating the Raiders by a lot at home. You should be beating, you know, you should be beating the Patriots, playing a rookie quarterback on the road. Tom Brady used to go to Miami this late in the season and lose, let alone Drake May. So, I don't know.
I mean, they definitely kicked the Rams' butt in L.A.
They did. That was amazing.
Tua's first game back at Buffalo? Or was that his second game back?
I believe it was his first game back. And listen, it took Buffalo nailing a 61-yarder to beat them. I get it.
Yeah, no, this feels like, and I listen to a lot of previews because the Thanksgiving games are getting a lot of attention. Everybody's high on the Dolphins, even with the weather. People think that they're coming.
Are you
betting them? I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole because of the weather. I just, again, yeah, if it was in Miami, I would take Miami in a second. No, I'm definitely staying away. Although I do have a prop from this game.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to make our picks today because we want to get all those Thanksgiving games in. Bogush is here with headlines. What's up?
Guys, we still don't know how the College Football Playoff Selection Committee will actually handle a two-loss ACC team or a three-loss SEC team when it's time to make the real bracket. Committee Chair Ward Manuel left them plenty of options on ESPN last night.
Well, I think the appetite is there to rank the teams as we see them. And if a team with one more loss than a team in front of them and we feel like they should be ahead of them, then we've shown that we will do that.
Three-loss Alabama is currently the second team out of a new projected bracket. Miami and SMU giving the ACC two teams in the field at the moment ahead of a possible meeting in the conference championship game. Those Hurricanes getting a first-round bye for now, while the Mustangs would play at Notre Dame. There'd also be Tennessee, Georgia, Indiana, Penn State, and Ohio State, Arizona State in round one. The Sun Devils moving up from 16 into the bracket at number 12 as the Big 12 leader. Oregon, Texas, and Boise State would have the first round byes alongside Miami. All of that came out while college basketball was showing off all around the country. Number 6, Houston. Number 9, Alabama in overtime in Vegas.
Sears to Reitzel. Long range from the right side. Gives to Sears. Right wing 3. Swish! Mark Sears with a bank first 3-pointer. Alabama 81, Houston 78. 1 minute into overtime.
And that's from Learfield. Mark Sears scoring 24 in the Tide's 85-80 win. Same event, Rutgers outlasting Notre Dame 85-84 in overtime. Projected lottery pick Dylan Harper, 36 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists for the Scarlet Knights. Elsewhere in Vegas, Kansas big man Hunter Dickinson ejected in the second half for a flagrant 2, but the top-ranked Jayhawks still beat number 11 Duke 75-72. Cooper flagged 13 points, plus another late, costly turnover in the loss for Duke. And in Maui, 4th-ranked Auburn outscored number 12 North Carolina 85-72 to join Memphis in today's title game. Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal returned from their calf injuries last night. Both scored 23 in the Suns' 127-100 decision over the Lakers. Phoenix now 9-1 this season with KD in the lineup. Let's assume he plays again tonight when the Nets come to town. Durant with some nice words about his former team, which will probably anger some or most Net fans.
I'm excited to see everybody. I miss those guys. I'm a Net for life. I always going to say that. I always feel that. It's going to be in my heart and my blood forever, so it's always good to see family, people that I grinded with.
That's a troll.
We need a Billy Jacalone wellness check. Ace. He's like one of 7 Net fans. I have a reaction to this. This dude saying, I'm a Net for life is something.
That'd be like James Harden being like, yep, I got a Net tattoo right here. Just wanted a permanent ink.
You know, it dawned on me that Kevin Durant's time in the Nets is very similar to Aaron Rodgers' time with the Jets, except he actually played well.
But
like that same misery, though, like you, I think Maggie, because I was literally just cutting a clip. You really described the misery very well, not just for Jet fans, just everybody around the Jets. It feels like that Net situation was just miserable.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. The gaslighting. I'm like, oh, it was great over there. It's like, come on, man. Like, it was not great for anybody else.
Yeah. Well, and also, you can't go, I'm a Net for life, when you wanted to leave. You asked for a trade twice. Right. You use that construction when it just ends because of retirement, or you guys come to like a mutual agreement. But when you push your way out, you can't go, I'm a Net for life. Because you could have been, but you didn't want to be.
Here's a question. I know that Basketball Hall of Fame is not obviously like baseball where you get like, what hat are you wearing? But who is Durant going to be most known for?
That's a great question.
It's tie, maybe Thunder Warriors.
Yeah. I would think 2 titles and MVPs makes him a Warrior.
I think a Warrior. But
see,
that's
I think he's Thunder.
It's so funny. My first thought, my instinct was Thunder.
I mean, technically he was a draft pick of the Seattle Supersonics, but obviously like he became a star with the Thunder.
Well, same team, right?
Yeah, same franchise. Yeah.
It feels like the biggest moments of his career happened with the Warriors, and I'm including him getting hurt, like the Achilles injury also finally.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he went to the final with the Thunder, but that seems kind of like, I think we all forget that.
He put them on the map, though.
Does Manny know that, by the way? Because that's how long ago that feels.
Yeah.
They don't do, like, statues right there, right? Because for Golden State, outside the stadium, can they have a statue where he's actually in the back of a bus seat that's farther back from where Steph Curry is in Golden State? Because that would be an apt
my
like,
God.
But you wouldn't know it's Kevin Durant because they'd use the Wade sculptor. So you have no idea.
Who's that tall guy sitting in a backseat of a bus?
What's his name in Orlando? Boga Gattazzi? Why is he in this Warriors bus?
Wait, so it'd be Steph Curry is driving the bus in the statue and Durant sitting behind him?
Steph Curry's driving. Clay's standing next to him.
Draymond somewhere near the front.
Draymond's punching Jordan Poole in the back.
Is this the Magic school bus we got? This is a scene.
Can we just bring Jerome Bettis in there just for the sake of it being a bus?
Just hidden Easter eggs all over the place.
That might be who Durant ends up looking like. Why is Jerome Bettis here? Why is he so tall?
Oh, because of the statue makers? Yeah, these guys are that bad. Ooh, yeah.
Other NBA scores last night. Victor Wembanyama, 34 points, and the Spurs 128-115 win in Utah. And the Rockets topped the T-Wolves 117-111 in overtime. Alperen Şengün, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists for Houston, who clinches a spot in the NBA Cup quarterfinals. And last but certainly not least, the Dodgers are signing Blake Snell, reportedly 5 years and $182 million. The two-time Cy Young gets a $56 million signing bonus, no opt-outs, and some deferrals. And I guess because of those deferrals, the huge signing bonus is an accounting thing. It affects his annual average value and gives him money right away, with other money being pushed deeper into the future.
Yeah, I mean, I take the 50 mil.
It's not bad.
Not a bad little Tuesday. So he gets the $50 million like up front, basically.
Not bad.
I don't know if it's lump sum though, but that's up front ish. Maybe it comes to you in two installments.
Yeah, got to manage the taxes here.
And well, actually, this is in California, right? So it's like $7.
We say that kiddingly, but it's like a massive. Like I'm sure that a lot of these deferments have some sort of trick to them, right?
Well, I mean, wasn't that the assumption too with Ohtani? Like they weren't going to be paid in California. Yeah. People were saying like, well, he worked in California, but there were some like tax questions about how that was going to work down the road.
I get it.
I feel like when you're talking about taxes with these massive athlete salaries, it's kind of like if you have to ask, you can't afford it. Like they don't have to worry about this kind of thing.
They don't, but it's like actually significant. So that's like a $80 million difference, right? For say Juan Soto does a $700 million contract.
Then you should sign with the Texas Rangers.
So, right. That's if it's 10% in a high tax state, that's a big difference. It makes more of a difference to them than like us. Like we're talking like $53 compared to like $75 million. So at least it's something. I get it. I know people don't want to hear that. They hate it when Phil Mickelson complained about taxes. But still, if you're a player and you're like, I might as well go to Tennessee.
Well, the other part about Phil Mickelson is like, you made a lot of money, yes, taxes, but you also didn't have to blow $500,000 betting UCLA, USC women's soccer.
He definitely did.
Ipe, the Shohei's interpreter.
Phil definitely did have to blow that money. And
if you're he definitely did blow that money.
No. That's a whole different thing. Phil complaining about taxes. I mean, that's why Phil books are the best. And that's why our friend Alan Shipnock could just write four more books about Phil and be good.
Yeah, they're always funny. Did you guys see this? We didn't get a chance to do this. I was into this story because I like these kind of things. Have you seen about the billionaire who started a treasure hunt?
No.
Okay. So...
Is there time to join still?
Yeah. No, seriously. So this guy, John Collins Black, he made his money off of crypto. So everyone, let's collectively roll our eyes. He's a Bitcoin bro. But he decided to do a real world treasure hunt that he believes is the largest in U.S. history. It's a trove worth several million dollars. He's hidden five boxes. One has the lion's share of the treasure, four smaller boxes all across the United States. Now he has a book out. It's called The Treasure Inside, or There's Treasure Inside. And it's got the maps and it's got the origins of all these precious things that are in these treasure boxes. So do you want to hear what some of the items are?
Of course.
It's not just money. It's like other things that this guy...
Like a Paul Skeens rookie card?
Kind of.
Okay.
This Bitcoin bro is doing this treasure hunt. So here's some of the things. A pair of ruby earrings... A golden chalice, an amethyst necklace, a gold
Jurassic Park,
a gold pendant by Picasso, George Washington's jelly glass, Olympic gold medals, a Michael Jordan rookie basketball card, the autograph of Amelia Earhart, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis's diamond sapphire brooch and a physical Bitcoin and rare Pokemon cards.
I don't understand the purpose. Like, what's he getting out of this?
He wants to do this
spring cleaning apparently.
He wants to create this thing.
His wife hates their garage.
He wants us to be his entertainment. Dance, puppets, dance.
Yeah, kind of.
But it's not like they get killed if they fail, like Squid Games, is it? Is there any death on the other?
No, but you could slip and fall.
You just described Hunger Games, EJ. I don't think that, I don't totally get what's happening here. Is there a dystopian element to it?
I mean, EJ clearly thinks there's a dance, puppets dance part of it. But maybe there's something where he's just sort of a thrill seeker and wants to, you know, it's like he's kind of like, you could be like a pirate. I don't know.
Well, he's not his thrill. He's just sitting back watching us go after these treasures around the world, right?
So apparently this all became part of... He first kind of thought of it in 2016 when the Pokemon Go phenomenon was going. He saw huge swarms of people out in the streets looking for Pokemon. I was like, what's going on? And he said, this is a totally analog adventure. So that was like a... what do they call it?
It was like a mobile
augmented
game.
Reality type of thing where you see these Pokemon figures. This is just like a good old fashioned treasure hunt.
Yeah.
You know what he could do, Maggie? He could just, you know, I don't know, give this stuff away to people who need it.
He could totally give the Jackie Kennedy Onassis's brooch to charity. Yeah. Absolutely.
I know.
Or to RFK.
He definitely doesn't need it. Anyway, would you guys be into the treasure hunt?
Sounds like Bogey's in.
It sounded good at the beginning.
Something like this?
I mean,
you don't want a Michael Jordan rookie basketball card?
Perloff, you want to do it together? Teamwork?
Friendship?
While you're on the road driving to San Antonio, maybe pull off the road, try to look for George Washington's jelly glass.
I'm a big fan of the National Treasure movies. Is that the vibe we're going with here? Nick Cage?
A little bit. And then wasn't there already something like this? Like The Secret, wasn't that like an organized treasure hunt by like an author to go find boxes randomly buried in places?
There was someone else who did this in 2016.
Yeah.
Now, are there riddles? There are riddles involved here. I can tell already.
Definitely riddles.
Hate riddles.
Definitely maps, riddles, all that kind of stuff. It's a treasure hunt, Pearl. I mean, there's probably a secret spell, a hex, some snakes.
Do you want to do it, Maggie?
I'm not that adventurous.
It's not adventure. Like, it's like...
It is adventure.
We can day drink.
Well, it's not like you're going to be like...
I'm in. There's White Claw?
Wait.
No laws when there's
claws? It's not going to be like Indiana Jones, like, running over the tops of alligators to get across a river.
Have to kill any Nazis on the treasure hunt.
It's like a bunch of nerds figuring out, like, a math problem, right? Isn't that what this is going to be like? This is not going to be Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, I think it's a little bit of each. Like, I think it's a little bit of having to go out into the wild, into the wilderness to try to find the buried treasure. And I think there's a little bit of also trying to figure it out. Like, figure out the clues of where these boxes are.
Yeah, you got to tell me, before we commit to anything here as a show, what's the movie vibe we're going for? Is it going to be Indiana Jones? Is it going to be National Treasure? Is it going to be Pirates of the Caribbean? Or is it going to be like some... like nerdy, like Dungeons and Dragons, like a bunch of people. Like,
it's City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold. I have no idea what it's going
to
be like.
Like, I don't understand. Like, what do the people have to do to get to the treasure?
Find it.
You got to find it. So you got to buy the book first. So it's a pretty good scheme that he's got going here.
Oh, there's a book.
You got to buy the book, and the book has the clues and the maps. Did I not say the book part?
No, you did.
Okay. Oh. The other part he said is that he thinks it will take between 7 and 10 years for the full treasure to be found.
Oh my God.
And he hasn't ruled out sharing additional clues. He said, this is not a legacy project where I die and people are still searching for my treasures. So... 7 to 10 years, but you will find the treasure.
Does Elon got any more seats on that spaceship to Mars? I got number one candidate that should be sent right up there.
Who's this guy?
With his ruby earrings.
Yeah, let him go. Take the Jordan rookie card with you.
For a second, I thought it was going to be the Jordan rookie baseball card, and I was going to be like, oh, that's a letdown. But he said it's the basketball card.
Oh, I bet you. How much is that worth, though?
Well, yeah, I mean,
probably infinite.
It's a minor league card, but.
Take his Charizard and Zapdos Pokemon cards.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get your ass out of here.
Know what those are.
EJ just wants to shoot this guy into the sun. Well, anyway, if you're into treasure hunts, there you go. Coming up, well, we're going to make picks. Let's try to make real money that we don't have to climb into the hills or whatever to go find. M&P.
Maggie and Perloff's NFL picks.
In college. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, it's Wednesday, and so tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and we're going to be off. EJ's going to be hosting the show tomorrow. We're excited about that. Manny is going to be here for the next 3 days doing updates, Manny?
I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'll be around.
There you go. So we're going to make our picks today. EJ, what are the records, please?
So, Maggie, you had another 2 and 3 weeks, so you are now 34-26. Perloff, a 3 and 2 weeks, so you are 32-28, just 2 games back of Maggie now.
I had a 10-game lead, I think, on Perloff at one point, and now you've closed the gap because you are a betting maestro, so I'll give you the floor. college against the spread and over-under, what do you have?
Okay, so I'll do college first, but I'm avoiding the Thanksgiving Day game, so I'm going to have you go first in NFL. Okay. College, I am doing Texas A&M. I've been talking about this game for 2 weeks. Texas, I go A&M plus 6. I just think that it's the SEC. The late season SEC feels like chaos, and we've been talking all show about what if A&M wins this game and goes to conference title game. I feel like we need that mess. Maybe it's a wishful bet, but I'm going A&M plus 6 against Texas. And then over-under, I'm going Michigan, Ohio State let me check. It's either 42.5 or 43. This is based on Michigan's playing a little better. And Ohio State's offense really is not dynamic at all, but it should be. Because look at all those stars. I feel like Ryan Day is really going to try and make a statement here against his arch rival and push that over the total.
This is amazing. This is how you know Perloff and I are sharing a brain. We're doing the same games, but opposite picks. So I'm going to take the Texas A&M over 48.5. This is my ask of everyone on the show. If I ever bet another college football under, have me committed to an insane asylum.
This one's definitely going over.
Well, don't say that because I've been on a terrible, terrible cold streak. But Texas A&M, 48.5. I'll take the over. And then for Ohio State, I may regret this. I probably will. I'm laying the 20.5. Think about what's pent up here. Ohio State is not technically into the Big Ten title game yet. They've lost to Michigan the last 3 years. And Ryan Day is looking for some revenge. And I think he's going to take this opportunity because I think he's taken a lot of heat for losing to Michigan the last 3 years. And if they see and smell blood in the water, he's going to go for it with late touchdowns just like he did against Indiana last week.
Right.
He will put the dagger in. So I'll take Ohio State. I'll lay the 20.5.
We haven't even talked about that hypothetical. What if Ryan Day lost this game?
Oh, my God. I mean, would leave the show Monday. Let's put it that way.
He'd be leaving Columbus on Monday. That would be crazy. You go first with NFL because I know you have a little more Thanksgiving Day action.
I do. So for NFL, I'm going to take, for my player prop, Caleb Williams, and I'm going to go over 20.5 completions because Caleb Williams, when he plays indoors, tends to be able to have over 21.5 completions. He's much better inside, as you would expect. So there you go. That's my player prop. For my over-under, I'm also going to go to the Thanksgiving Day games, and I'm going to go with the Giants and the Cowboys over 37. This is a very small total for an NFL game, even with backup quarterbacks galore, over 37. And then this one is going to be, I'm not going to love doing it, but I am. I'm going to take Jacksonville. I'm going to go plus the 5. They're home hosting the Houston Texans, and Trevor Lawrence is coming back. So Houston hasn't really been blowing teams out on the road, divisional game, Jags plus the 5.
Like all of that. I mean, the 37, I feel like that's such a disrespect to my man, Cooper Rush, assuming Cooper Rush plays. That one is definitely hitting. The Jags, that's funny. You probably get that one, but you do not feel good about betting on the Jags.
I
think the Texans are really struggling. That should be a great game.
This is what I'm hoping.
Okay. I am going to do one Thanksgiving Day prop. Josh Jacobs is the man for Green Bay. He might be tired after last week, but I'm going to have him over 70 rushing yards against the Dolphins. Little weather, what's safer than giving the ball to Josh Jacobs? I'm going with the Titans. So look at us with the AFC South plus 6 against the Commanders. Listen, I've been denying it. The Cliff Kingsbury swoon is real. I'm ready to admit it. I was wrong. You were right. So I'm putting all my eggs in the Will Levis basket. Am I over under? I hit on this one last week, so I'm riding the Chiefs. The Chiefs went way over against the Panthers. Now, the Raiders have some problems on offense. They have some problems at quarterback.
This is like their Super Bowl, though, for the Raiders.
And I feel like last year, was it a 19-9 or something like that? I'm going to go over 42.5. I feel like the Chiefs are getting a little tired of this narrative that they can't move the ball. It might be helpful if Patrick Mahomes threw a pass over 6 yards. Might try that. Or you might not want to get sacked 11 times like you've been doing lately. But I think KC is going to start to kill the narrative that they stink on offense. And it's going to be this week, get revenge for the last holiday game, over 42.5.
The spread is 12 in that game. That's pretty wild. It feels kind of big.
I do think like Aiden O'Connell's coming off an injury. This is not looking great for the Raiders.
I thought you were going to go Steelers-Bengals under 48.5.
Oh, it's so funny. I was thinking about going over on that game because the Bengals defense stinks, and I kind of think the Steelers are a high-flying team now.
They can't score in the red zone. But anyway, all right. Those are our NFL and college picks. We'll put them out on our social media at Maggie and Pearl. EJ and Manny and Bogish and Kaplan and Weedos and Coffee Drinkers, thank you guys. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We are so grateful for each and every one of you.
I am about to go bananas eating so much food. How about you?
I'm wearing sweatpants.
Oh, yeah.
No buttons or zippers allowed on Thanksgiving. Enjoy the holiday, everyone. Tune in to EJ hosting the show tomorrow. See you Monday.